they have been able to develop solar cells that are cost competitive with conventional energy sources. And as you're aware, and you've spoken about quite often on your show, that is really the holy grail of solar power.
It is, yes.
For the last 30 years, they have been promising this. The solar energy has said that it's feasible, but they've never pulled it off. And it looks like at least two separate organizations, one, a small Palo Alto startup company called NanoSolar, that has only been around since 2002, but has some of the top minds in the industry working with it.
All right, explain to me what we're talking about here. What is it, in what way is nanotechnology applied in the solar field that makes it suddenly feasible?
Well, first some background, just so that people can remember this, they may have heard it before. You got 500 times the amount of the total energy consumed in the United States today hits the continental United States every day.
In the form of sun.
Yeah. So there's lots of the stuff around, but the problem has always been, A, how do you actually get it without blanketing, you know, the whole of the United States with these inefficient solar cells that we've had until now?
Right.
And B, how do you transport the stuff around on all these huge, big blankets of solar panels and put them into a grid, because our grids today aren't capable of handling that.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So there's been the generation problem and the delivery and management problems. And all of those problems have to be solved before you can really have a solar economy.
Right.
So let's talk about the solar cells. Until now, about 95% of all the solar cells have been made out of these silicone wafers that basically generate an electric current when electricity hits them. But they have a few problems attached to them. First of all, they've been pretty brittle, so they've have to been on these huge, ugly panels that you see everywhere sitting on roofs, and you can't really make them on any flexible surface. But the second problem has been they've usually only been in two dimensions, so they can only absorb the sunlight that's hitting them directly, you know, heading in one direction, which is why you see a lot of these solar panels out there with these motors turning
so
that they can, you know, go directly into the sun.
So they track the sun and keep maximum efficiency all day long, yes.
That's right. And the third problem has been the actual thickness of the wafers, which means that they, for the amount of money invested in them, they have a very limited production capacity and efficiency. Well, these guys, one group from Palo Alto and the other from the University of Toronto, seem to have solved all three problems simultaneously. And they have done it by using something known as a quantum dot. Now, a quantum dot has quite often been described as an artificial atom. It's a lot bigger than an atom, but it has a lot of the same characteristics. And the one that's important for solar power is this. It operates in three dimensions. It can hang on to electrons in three dimensions, which means that, for starters, it can absorb solar energy from a whole bunch of different directions, which vastly increases its efficiency, its capability to pull in this solar energy.
So imagine this into a constructed device. What would it look like? What are we talking about?
Well, there are two different visions, but they're both quite similar. One, which is actually happening today, it is in existence, is to put these onto flexible roll-up sheets, and that's been done right now. They have them. They've basically manufactured them so that you can put them on flexible roll-up sheets, which means that you can laminate them to the roof or to the wall or to any flat surface or any rolling surface.
Yes.
And in that way, you have a lot less expensive and a lot more efficient areas for getting at this solar energy.
What does it look like? I mean, is it equivalent to, I'm trying to imagine for everybody, is it like a large sheet that can be, or what?
It's exactly like a large sheet.
Like a large sheet.
Yeah, and here's the other really important thing about it. When you, the other problem with solar cells has been that they have only been able to absorb a certain part of the light spectrum.
Right.
Infrared hasn't worked very well.
Right.
They've just overcome that. And that's a huge
change. Oh, my God. This is a big announcement.
Absolutely. Right. And here's what's interesting. People are hearing it really for the first time on Coast to Coast, because the only other organization that has broken this story was the Hindu newspaper in India because some of their engineers are working in Palo Alto on it. But the company actually has not made a formal announcement of it yet. So this is really new news before it comes out.
Certainly new to me.
Yeah,
and I imagine all my audience as well. That's incredible. All right. Do you have any numbers you can give me? I mean, for example, for a given area, how much more efficient would this be than a traditional solar panel?
100 times.
Oh, my God.
And I should say by price. By price. It doesn't shrink the amount of space needed by 100-fold, but what it does is it shrinks the amount of material by 100-fold. And it also, because of this three-dimensional capability, increases the efficiency. And I'm going
to... All right, well, that was my question. In other words, for a given amount of area, as compared to a standard solar panel, how efficient in gathering energy is this new material?
Well, the numbers that are being thrown out, and again, because this hasn't been formally released, I don't want to get myself into trouble by giving precise numbers and then having someone come back on me on it, but I would say from what I've read and also from what's being said at the University of Toronto, that it's anywhere from 3 to 7 times more efficient. But the main thing is not so much that, because you can have low efficiency if you have low price. And that's the thing, because what they've done at the University of Toronto is they've actually incorporated this into something known as organic plastics. And the reason organic plastics are important, Art, is because they can conduct electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole new generation of plastics that are coming out that can conduct electricity. And when you combine those with crystals, nanocrystals, what you can do is you can have paint, solar paint, basically, that you can paint onto a surface because they don't lose their properties in liquid form. Now, there's a big debate on right now as to whether or not solar paint is actually feasible, but these guys at the University of Toronto are definitely using the term solar paint.
Solar paint.
And, you know, this means that if you can keep it in the liquid form and maintain its properties, that means that you're talking about painting buildings, cars, and those are the examples that they give at U of T. They've said the possibility is to use it as a coating on a car.
Can I ask a sort of a technical question?
Fire away.
Well, let's say that you had a house painted with solar paint. How would you collect the electricity? How would you collect the differential? There'd be a differential then between the house itself and the ground, as an example, right?
And that comes into the power management aspect because
yes.
That has been one of the big problems. And the nice thing about these nanoscale crystals that they're using is that they can not only absorb the energy, but they can also transmit it universally across each other.
Wow.
So this means that basically, and I'm being very simplistic here, you can attach an electrode to one end, an electrode to the other, and you get a current out of it.